My name is Vicky Gonzalez Bea. I am 17 years old. Today is November 3rd, 2019, and I'm speaking with Adi Gonzalez, who is my mom. We are recording this interview in Miami, Florida. How was your parents' life in Cuba?
Well, my parents' life in Cuba, from what I heard, they used to live in an apartment in La Habana, where my dad used to work at the Central Azucarero, as an architect. My mom was taking care of my sister that she was at that time, I don't know, they left Cuba when she was six. And from what I heard, my mom used to take my sister to the beach all the time, so that's why she was a very good swimmer. In that apartment, they used to live with my grandmother, my aunt and uncle, and their kids as well. That was already after the Castro regime was on. So I guess that they all have to live in the same place for whatever reason. What else I heard about? Well, I remember hearing some stories where my dad was at the Central Azucarero. They were already some Russians that they used to live in Cuba. And for some reason, my father actually and my mom were invited to those parties. And they said that it was like very abundant of food and drinks and I don't know, very... So I guess that was part of the Castro regime. But my dad decided to leave Cuba and they decided to go to Spain.
Why did they choose to go to Spain?
At that time, one of my dad's colleagues from... and friends from the university used to move to Spain, and after he worked on the my dad had to work in the field to get his permit to leave Cuba for almost 4 years, 3.5 or 4 years, something like that, so to cut sugarcane. So when they got the permit to leave Cuba, the two countries I think that they were given a kind of asylum was Spain and Canada. So they decided to go to Spain because of the language and because one of my dad's friends from university was already living there. So he was able to kind of help my dad to find a job and, you know, all the things that they needed for the big move. Once that we went to Spain, when actually my parents left Cuba, my mom was already pregnant with me. So, as I said, that friend helped my dad to find a job. My mom was obviously taking care of my sister and myself that I was in her belly. And we got there. And after 4 months, I was born. I don't have much details where they were living in Spain, to be honest. I know that I was born in the Hospital de las Monjitas. And that friend from my dad's friend that helped him to get a job and to find something in Spain actually is my godfather. And that's it. That's all I have. We were in Spain for probably 4 months. After a month I was born, my dad moved to Venezuela because he got a job opportunity.
Why did they choose Venezuela?
Well, as I told you before, my dad got a job opportunity from the same company that he was working in Spain because the owners of the architect company that he was working for actually were Venezuelans, but they were living in Spain. They were very wealthy. So we had some family that was already living in Venezuela, and my dad asking if we can kind of help him to get something through. And then he said that yes, that but it wasn't in Spain, that he will be able to help him to go to Venezuela and even to get all the paperwork and all the visas and everything that he needed to do that. So obviously Spain's climate was actually cold, especially in November, December. And Venezuela's climate is much better. It's all year round, like summer here. So it was, coming from Cuba, the cold weather wasn't really a thing to live with. So they preferred to move to Venezuela. And we had some other family members that they were already there, that they also left Cuba. And with this job opportunity was something bigger and better for my dad. So that's when they decided to go and move there.
How did you guys live in Venezuela?
Venezuela actually was an awesome place to live. Weather was nice all year round. At that time in the 70s, I was born in 72. Venezuela was booming, so it was probably one of the wealthiest economies and growing economy in Latin America. So the oil industry was doing much better, and there were a lot of mineral exploitation in diggings and all stuff. So it was, people had a very good quality of living. Besides that, my dad, with this job opportunity, it also gave it the chance to my mom to take care of me and my sister, even though my sister was already starting school. And so she took care of me when I was a baby. We arrived in Venezuela when I was a month old. So really, she was taking care of me at all times. After a few years, my mom had the opportunity to go back to school because she couldn't graduate when she left Cuba. She didn't finish the university, college. So she started studying again, computer software programming, something like that. But she was studying at night. So right when my dad was coming from work, then she was studying. So she was able to complete her degree. In Venezuela, people was not. I think that is, they're still very open. They were very friendly, very positive, optimistic, very happy people. And we lived there for 20 something years. And we had a very good living. I mean, my sister and I, we went to very good school. It was Catholic education. We were able to, people go and take vacations during not just summer, but in December. It's like from December 15, that's it. Everybody close their business and start after Reyes Magos. So it really was, people love to enjoy to enjoy life. It was a very good balance between life and work. Party, and it was safe. I mean, not until the very end, but at the beginning it was safe. Kids can go out and play outside. So I can't complain. I really enjoyed, and I think that my parents really enjoyed living in Venezuela as much as I did. Okay, in Venezuela, I actually went to college there. We moved already when I graduated. I met my husband, Vicky's dad, actually. Because my parents used to have an apartment on the beach. So we have, that was actually where everybody was going all the weekends. So there was a, like a club that everybody goes there and see each other and, you know, party and spend the day and the weekend. So that's where I met my husband. And a lot of our friends are still our friends. Like, some live in Venezuela, some live in Panama, some live here in the States. So they live all across the world, I would say. But we still have very close connection because those are kind of our friends for life, I guess. I graduated college. What else? And I started working there, actually. I work at hotels. And what else?
When did you guys begin to realize that you had to leave Venezuela?
We had, I mean, as a family, there were like two stages. So really the first stage was when in 1989, actually, I was graduating high school. And during the day, actually the day before I was taking my entrance exam to the university, it was a big, big, it wasn't a, like a, not a strike, but like revuelta. I don't know, it was something big with the military. That was the first attempt that Hugo Chavez had against the president at that time, which was, I think, Carlos Andrés Pérez. Anyways, so it was a big revuelta in the entire city. I mean, it was crazy, crazy. It was the biggest thing ever. All the highways were collapsed. The militaries were taking over the channels. I never seen anything like that in my life. And I was actually in a friend's house studying for the test. And then my mom, I guess that she forgot what I was, because she told me that I never told her, but no, I did. I remember. And then my sister went to pick me up, but it took her probably like 3 or 4 hours to get there and then come back home. And my mom was stuck in traffic. I mean, it was crazy. So at that time, my dad thought that really this wasn't something good. I mean, obviously, after his past experience in Cuba. So he started thinking that it was that they need to start planning to leave Venezuela. So after that, well, my sister was already in the university, so we had a, I mean, it was thinking, you know, they start with all the preparations. They have to think where to go. They have to think, okay, what are they going to do with the properties? And my dad's business, my mom's businesses, a business. My sister was studying, so if she was graduating or she was waiting or she will come or she will, I don't know. There were many ideas coming in and out of their minds. And since I was graduating high school, I guess that for me was the easiest thing, that it's just start or do not start. Obviously, all of that takes a lot of time, planning. So it's not like we left the country right away. But my dad had like a plan in place. I started putting a plan in place with my mom. Actually graduated high school. I studied in the university there. I went for 2 years, probably, or even 2 years and a half. And, you know, I mean, since it was like a big revuelta, I guess that the city was on a strike for a month or something like that. Like you have, how you call it? Right after that, we have curfew, like people cannot be out of the street after 8 p.m. And then before, like from 8 p.m. to 6 a.m., nobody can be out of the street unless you have a pass to be outside. So that was like a, I think for a month and a half that we were living like that. But again, I mean, I guess at some point everything will fall in place and then kind of life was normal after that for a while. And as I said, I graduated and, you know, I was still going out. My sister was going out. It's because, like, everything went back to normal because at the end, the government never fall. So Chavez was, I think that they put into jail and whatever. So nothing happened after that.
Why did you guys decide to move to the United States after Venezuela?
Well, after we started living again as normal in Venezuela, as I said, my dad and my mom, they were thinking where to go and start planning, making plans. And they decided the U.S. because mostly of my dad's family was living here. They live here since the 60s, after even Peter Pan. Two of my cousins were part of the Peter Pan. A group. So I think that at some point before going to Venezuela, coming to the States was an option. But I guess that Venezuela at that time was booming, so my dad decided to go to Venezuela instead. And we already have some ties besides my family. My grandmother was living here because she was sick and she was already resident. And so, and the family, so we were coming two or three times a year, everybody to see my grandma, my family. My dad was coming more often, so I guess that it was the right place to come. Family was here, and somehow in terms of visas requirements, it was, I think, the easiest place to get all the paperwork and not to leave Venezuela illegally, I guess, or leave another country illegally. So that was why they decided pretty much to come here to the States.
How was it different living in so many different countries?
Well, living in different countries is, it's not just different, it's also difficult. For example, when we moved here to the States, I moved with my parents. Exactly, yes, I moved with my parents. And then my husband, I lived here for a couple of years and then I came back to Venezuela and then I get married and then I came back with my husband. So it was back and forth until we finally move officially and formally and almost 20 years ago or more. Oh, I don't know, 20 probably. It's different because customs are totally different. I mean, here you just need to get used to, first, to know people. I mean, we left all our friends there in Venezuela, so you kind of are out of the blue with no friends. And you need to start building new relationships and all this stuff. Then it's like, in December, I mean, the basic things, people in Venezuela used to take all the weekends to go. I mean, we were used to go to the beach every weekend because we have an apartment, which we didn't have here when we moved to the States. So it's really like to try to figure out, okay, what do you do now on the weekends? You don't have your friends. You don't have like the same things that you used to do. So yes, we spent a lot of time. I guess it was good with the family. I mean, my parents and my sister at that time as well, that she was here in Miami. What else? Like in December, I remember that pretty much everybody was taking vacation from December 15 to January 7th. And here it's like, I know you don't have 3 weeks vacation, you have 2 weeks vacation. That's it. So, coming from a country where I used to have 42 days vacation, that could be a little bit crazy. Try to squeeze all the things that you want to do in just 2 weeks. And just get used to do and live with another currency as well. I mean, in the past, you want to think of, say, this cost me like, I don't know, $2 in Venezuela, here costs $4. And then you divide because you want to do it to the local currency to see if it's expensive or not. So really your brain has to change and see and say, okay, now you live in the States and that's it. It's US money, you make money in dollars. So the other currency really doesn't do anything for you. And just the food was different. Now, because there are more Venezuelans here, you can definitely find more variety and more places. But in the past, it was very hard even to find the harina pan, which is the regular base to do arepas. Or the chocolates that you like from Venezuela, now you find them here all the time. What else was different? Oh, that you can go out, and then in Venezuela, people used to go out at midnight. 20 years ago, you just go to long parties until, I don't know, 3 in the morning if you're going to the beach. But then after that, any other place, they close early. When in Venezuela, it was until 5, 6 a.m. that you were party. So, you get used to all those different things. I think that one of the biggest changes, probably, or I don't know if it changed, but something that is struck me was, for example, when Vicky was born, that she started getting invited to all these kids' parties, and they were like from 2 to 4. I said, how are you gonna put end time to a party? Like, party is to enjoy and have fun, and if you're having fun, well, you're gonna cut it. So I see that the people was like that 2 hours for a party and that's it. And I was like, oh, no, that doesn't work. So I actually never did that. I put just the start time, but I never put the end time because, like, that's my local culture. I can change it. And that's it. I don't know. It's a different culture. You just embrace it and enjoy. And I mean, I'm happy to live here in the States. So that's all.
What would you recommend for other people who have to go through similar experiences in their life of moving to different countries?
Well, I think that my first recommendation is to make sure that you come and make the move with a positive attitude. I know that everything, change, a move, they're big thing, but at the same time, you need to be optimistic, and things happen for a reason, and God never gonna put you in a place that you're not gonna be able to go through, or something that you're gonna be able to handle. So any situation, you need to make the best out of it, and work hard, don't be shy, start making new friends, open your network, people, go out, meet the culture. And understand that sometimes, even if you don't think it, things happen for a reason, for the best at the end of the day. Obviously it's not easy. But everything, I mean, I guess I'm a firm believer that if you have a good attitude and positive, attitude towards any situation, you have halfway of the battle game. You know, things will be easier. If you're always focusing on the bad things and or the reason why you have to leave, that's it. I mean, you have to keep moving forward, and as your dad said, keep fun, keep it fun.
Okay, last question. How have all of these moves made you the person you are now?
Well, all these moves make me, I think that it makes you, believe it or not, it makes you a better person. It makes you understand that sometimes things are not eternal, that will last forever. It makes you think that, makes you, what else? It makes you realize that sometimes government or the decisions that the other people in the power they do, sometimes they don't do it always on the best for the best interest of the population, and actually help me understand that. And I think I told you one time when we went to vote in New Orleans for Venezuelan's election, is like, you always have to go and vote, otherwise you don't have the right to complain. It's an obligation and it's a right, so you have to do it. So when you are very young, you don't take care of politics or you don't pay attention to that, but it's good to have that sense and that base of you have to do your obligations. It makes me, I've been always very social, so I don't think that the changes has an impact to me in that way, but I think that helped me. It helped me to be a little bit more cautious with other people or not, because obviously you're opening a new network. It helped me to be, to work hard for what I want, because it's different when you are in a country that everybody knows you, and when you move, nobody knows you, and you have to open your own path and, you know, work in relationships and all the stuff. So when you don't know anybody, you really have to work hard to shine. And so I consider myself a very hard worker person. Makes you responsible, makes you accountable. Makes you value what you have, what you had accomplished, and make you proud of all of the things that you have done and be able to go through. When my parents left Cuba, and I think that's for me my biggest learning of all of changes and move that we have to go through. I remember my parents were in a very good position there, and then obviously my dad has to go and cut cane and all stuff, so he lost pretty much everything. And when they left Cuba, they left with nothing, empty-handed. And I know exactly how hard they work in Venezuela to give us a good life, and how much they accomplished, that they were self-employed. They work for companies, but mostly of the time, then at the end they were self-employed for many, many years, and they were successful and able to get properties and travel and good education for my sister and I. And I realized that if you work hard and you are stick to your principles and good moral, then you're gonna go through. I mean, you're gonna have a good life, and God never gonna leave you. And I think that that's the biggest thing, and that I learned how to live under those principles and learning from my parents' experience.
Well, thank you for letting me interview you. It was very interesting learning about my family's history. I learned a lot.
It's my pleasure always to tell you about us, and I know that you probably have heard a couple of times these stories, but I hope that you learn that don't take anything for granted. You need to work hard for what you want. Yes. I love you, baby.